It is now our pleasure to hear Brother Freeman Thompson address us, and he has selected as his subject the temple of God, the temple of God. Brother Freeman.
Thank you, Brother Tom, and good morning to everyone. It is a pleasure to be here in your midst. There's nothing like being around the brethren. Basically, we speak the same language. We understand one another. I could talk all day long outside on the streets there, and no one understands a thing that I'm saying. I bring you the love of the San Antonio Ecclesia, and also Sister Eleanor Nichols from the Houston Ecclesia. They do want their love. They want their love sent to the class. I talked to her Wednesday. Brethren, we're going to look at this temple a little. The preparation, what's required, what is the purpose? This is what we're going to look at. Purpose, we look at the pattern, and then we're going to look at a little bit of the type and the anti-type. So if you'll bear with me in these next few minutes in this lesson, first of all, we want to open up with the definition. The definition of the temple. The usual Hebrew term applied to the Jewish temple was Hekel. Hopefully I'm pronouncing this correctly. Heykal. This signifies a royal residence. It was also often qualified by the term Kodesh, sanctuary, to indicate its sacredness as the visible dwelling place of Jehovah among his people. The same significance also attached to the movable tent or sanctuary of Israel, the tabernacle in the wilderness. The idea thus visibly expressed was that God was in the midst of his people. As he said, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. Brethren, we're looking at the stones here that are still in the quarry, that are still being chiseled and polished. In fulfillment of this promise, as soon as the tabernacle was finished, the glory of the Lord filled it. And as we read in Exodus 40, it's 33 and 38, so Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all of their journeys. In Romans 15 and 4, to get an idea, we're going to be looking at some of the old, looking at the old scriptures. And then Paul tells us in Romans 15 and 4, you're familiar with it. For whatsoever things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read the writer, Paul, tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God. What a privilege that you and I have been invited to this particular part of this temple. Do ye not know that ye are the temple of God? There are conditions. But brethren, what a blessing. Out of the billions of people that have been on this earth, you and I have been invited to reign with our Lord, to do what? In fulfillment of the covenant that was made to Abraham. In thy seed shall how many? All the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And we have been invited to be part of that. What a blessing. But we know where much is given, much is required. The Old Testament scriptures were written before the church came into being, before Christ, the head and forerunner of the church. The Old Testament scriptures abound in significant types, and one of which we'll be focusing on is the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, a picture of what he is now doing and what he proposes to do through Christ and the church to the world. Again, we're still in the quarry. In Pilgrim Echoes, Brother Barton, if I think that's where it was, and we don't have that picture here, but we know where the direction that the tabernacle faced. It faced east. Did it not? But the church, the progression is going in the opposite direction of the world. The world it's what we're looking at, the world from that standpoint. The sun arises in the east. And those two apartments. And you and I have been blessed to have the opportunity to go in that first one. We have all of that in there that we have been given this. Blessed are your eyes, as it was stated yesterday by Brother Jerry. And also, blessed are your ears, for you hear. What a blessing, brethren. To us, the church, it has been given to know. And no man receiveth anything except it be given by the Almighty God through Christ. So, brethren, again, we can't emphasize enough the position and the invitation that we have been extended to reign with our Lord, to bless all of our fellow man. We know Isaiah 60:2 today, darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. So the world is in ignorance of what is transpiring. So we are, as described in the Bible, a what kind of people? A peculiar kind of people. I don't feel strange anymore when they don't pay me any attention out there anymore. It doesn't bother me. Way back when it did. But they have not been given the ear to hear and the eye to see. Blessed again are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Many righteous men long to see what you see and to hear what you hear. It cannot. We look at Cornelius, a righteous man, a righteous man. But yet, he gave much alms, and yet he didn't know the way. He had to send for who? He had to send to Joppa for Peter to point the way. And we know the result of that is that the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was blessed with that Holy Spirit. And we know the world of mankind today, brethren, we should be very sympathetic to the world of mankind. For to them it has not been given to know. I too came out in that tabernacle. I don't know how far out I was. It was a long ways. I had a long travel. I talked to a dear sister here yesterday. She asked me, Brother Freeman, how did you come into the truth? And I said, what would you like, the short or the long version? But anyway, I enjoyed the fellowship with dear sister. I hadn't met her before, Sister Trish. And we kind of shared the same experiences. We came out of the nominal system. Brethren, how great was that darkness? And I made the mistake, though. Once I saw the light, in ignorance, and God knew my heart, that I tried to shake everybody I knew. I wanted you to listen, because this is too good. But not knowing that it was not the due time for the world of mankind. But what a blessing again, brethren. I can't emphasize that enough. Question. What is the purpose? Let's look at the purpose of which this glorious temple is being constructed. Well, I could go all the way back to Revelations 21, 1 through 3. God's going to dwell with man again, that tabernacle. But we won't go there yet. But we know what the purpose of building this temple is all about. And the stones that are still in the quarry that are being shaped and chiseled and polished and being made ready. And that's what's happening to each one of us here today. If we want to be part of that group, there are certain conditions which we will address. So the answer to that question is, it's going to be a house of prayer for how many nations? All nations is the purpose for which this glorious temple is being constructed. Back in the law dispensation, the required information was pictorially set forth in types and symbols. Romans 15:4, as we read a moment ago. And it's also, and they were examples also in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. And also in 10:1, in the Hebrews, and I appreciated the brothers compressing all of that yesterday for Brother Rick with the Hebrews there yesterday. And Hebrews 10:1 tells us that the law was but a shadow of the good things which are to come. In Exodus 25:8, and here the writer tells us, and let them construct, speaking of the nation of Israel, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. Ezekiel 37, verse 27 and 28. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Verse 28. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst. For how long? Forever. But I'm so thankful today, brethren, that eventually I was given that knowledge. Not all, but I was given where I could see. And I'm so thankful for those little booklets that many years ago when I started to search in 1972, back there then, then I was afforded the little nickel and dime booklets, which from the dawn. And that was such a blessing. Such a blessing. But let me continue. I have a tendency to do this, and I hope you'll be patient with me. But here again, the purpose again, Isaiah 56:7. The purpose of this temple that is being constructed. Here I'm reading verse 6 and 7 of Isaiah 56. Even those I will bring, the foreigners, to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all people. Excuse me, brother. And we know the Master himself in Matthew 21:13. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Mark 11:17. Mark 11:17. Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? And the writer in Luke, it is written again, and my house shall be a house of prayer. Now, let's look at the pattern. Let's look at the pattern that was given to Moses on the mount. Exodus 25:8-9 I will read. And let them, Israel, construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. The pattern. According to all that I am going to show you, speaking to Moses, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. Exodus 26:30. Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to its plan, which you have been shown in the mountain. Now let's look at the New Testament a minute. Acts 7:44. And the writer here states, our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness. Had. Past tense. Just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. Brethren, I had quite a surprise this past week. Or this past year. Well, this past year. No, this last year, I could say. But I had my daughter ordered something there at the home, and she, what was it, temporal, I don't know, theater, entertain, something to fix your television and stuff.
And the man that walked in, he had the little cap on, and he had the Star of David all around it here. And here I asked a question like that. I said, "Are you Jewish?" Knowing that he had to be. But anyway, it was a wonderful experience. He couldn't do his work because I was... I couldn't help but want to talk to him. But anyway, he was telling me that they're looking forward to rebuilding the temple. Here's a Jewish fellow right in my home, and we had a chance to discuss certain. Naturally, I said we're not going to agree on certain things, in which he had said some things. But anyway, we had a very nice conversation. So in Exodus 26:30, in Acts 7:44, we have those. We gave you those. So again, let's look at the pattern in the New Testament. And from reprint 3283, if you want to look at that one, that's a very good article. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, and this is our Lord again, this is the pattern. You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect in the flesh. We'll never be that way. That's not what we're talking about. But this is the pattern that we are being chiseled and made ready before we're placed into that temple. In Romans 8:29, the Apostle Paul, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, brethren, our Lord, there we have our pattern. That top stone, the pyramid, beautiful illustration, very beautiful illustration. A top stone, and we know that as in the 14th chapter of Revelation, verse 1, where you saw the Lamb, and with him how many? 144,000 up under that top, very top stone. And everything is going to have to be conformed to that pyramid. What a beautiful picture. And then we know there's the next one would be the great company. And then the next one would be the earthly phase of the kingdom. In fact, after taking out from among the Gentiles in 1514, I believe, 1514 of Acts, he's taken out a people now for his name from among the Gentiles because the Jews, he failed to get the required amount. So now, after the completion of the church, then he says the very first word in that verse 16, I believe it is, after this, what is he going to do? Rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And then verse 17, coming up on that pyramid, so that the residues, so all of the rest of mankind will have that opportunity, but to the Jew first. And that Jewish man that came by, he said, that's right, I agree with that. He liked that. I said, well, Israel's going to be the nation, the capital of the world. Jerusalem's going to be the capital. Let's look a minute at the type and antitype. Solomon's temple. It was a figure or picture of the temple which God is erecting. And this is from one of the convention reports that I wrote. This three pages, 359 and 360. The temple that Solomon built had its peculiarities. Peculiarities. One peculiarity was the stones were taken out from underneath the site. The temple was built of those stones brought from right near where it was built. In San Antonio, my home. They have on the river there, they have a hotel that was constructed many, many years ago for the fair. And those rooms were put in place about, I think it was approximately 15 miles from the site. And those rooms, when they were completed, they were bought and set in place, and as far as I know, they fit. Each one of those rooms were equipped. It had everything that was necessary, and they brought it and used the cranes, and they lifted it and put it in place. They had to transport them, but they had to build them in the quarry. That's where we're being built, in the quarry. The world is the quarry for you and I. The shaping continues. Some are being shaped a little harder. Some are being polished because have had that other shaping. So, brethren, be strong. Because the whole plan, that group, that temple has not been completed. And you and I have been extended that invitation to be part of that 144,000. The Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter are our authority for saying that we are the temple of God and that the temple of God is holy. So what does the Lord mean by that? He means this, that God, who condemned the whole world as sinners and declared he would have no fellowship with sinners, has provided a way by which these sinners can come back into harmony with him. Isn't that a blessing? And they can only come back through the arrangement he has made in respect to this great temple that's in the process right now. The world of mankind is waiting for this to be completed. They don't know that. Let's look at the antitype for a moment. The antitype of Solomon's temple, the church of the living God. And we know Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 2, 5, and 6. The builder and maker, as we know, is the Almighty God. The quarry, again, as we've stated, is the world in general. The living stones are taken out of the world, separated from the world, but are chiseled and polished in the anti-typical quarry, made ready for their positions, and then taken to their proper place. We know that Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. We know he tells us also in 17:14, you are in the world, of John that is, you're in the world, but you're not part of it. This work of preparation for the church, for the temple, has been going on for over 1,900 years. Our Lord, we know, was the foundation stone. But before Christ came, there were no stones prepared. None could be accepted until he had given himself a ransom. For how many? For all. Let's look at some of the comments on some of the New Testament scriptures. Well, first of all, let's go back to Brother Russell. And he explains that he makes it very plain. And I think I took this one. The scriptures clearly teach.
But first of all, let's look at what the temple is. That's God's building, as we know in 1 Corinthians 2:9. God's building. Our Lord tells us in John 2:19-21, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will do what? Raise it up. And here to get, knowing who he was referring to, we look at verse 21. He was speaking of the temple of his body. To those who have been extended the invitation. And the scriptures repeatedly tell us that the church is the body of Christ, brethren. Again, in 1 Peter 2:5, the Apostle Peter declares that each of the Lord's saints is a living stone, prepared for and being placed in the glorious temple on plain key of the divine plan chart. Again, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. I'm being repetitive, brethren. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? When we made that presentation, when we made our way through the court, recognized what was on that brazen altar, looked at the laver, cleaned up, and we tied ourselves to the door. And when the Lord accepted that consecration, we have no will. We should, if we do, after that, we have a problem. But once we have given up our will to do God's will, we can only go straight ahead, brother. There's no turning back. For we know in Hebrews 6, I believe it is, in the first few verses there, chapter 6, it is impossible, I don't have the verse, but I think it's the 6th chapter. Someone help me out. chapter 6. And it is impossible to renew again to repentance those who have fallen away. So, brethren, we have a tremendous responsibility, but you know, we have that which is necessary to make our calling and election sure. We have that throne of grace in Hebrews 2, I think it's verse 16. We have that. And we can come as often and stay as long as required. We can come boldly and ask for mercy and just on occasion? No, brethren. In every time of need. We also have that robe that has been given to us. And all we have the great cleaner, the greatest cleaner there is. And all we have to do is to keep those spots. Keep those spots off, brethren. Brethren, again, it's a real blessing to be here in your midst. And I would like to thank the Chicago Friends for extending the invitation to be a participant here with you today, this weekend. It's a real blessing for me. We know that the church as a whole is a temple, is the anti-temple of God. Each individual Christian is a member in particular
The church as a whole, these are comments from 1 Corinthians 3:16. The church as a whole, when gathered to the heavenly condition, will be God's temple. In that, God will dwell in them by His Holy Spirit. The apostles, back there with our Lord before He finished His course, He told them, I have many things, yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So it was not until on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. Well, we know the poor world of mankind. In John 14, verses 15 through 17. Here again, it's preface, it's a condition. If you love me, what will you do? Keep my commandments. And as a result, what will happen? The Father will give us what? Another comforter. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And in verse 17, whom the world cannot receive. But eventually we know the promise is that He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. That word all again. And as a result, they're going to all know Him from the least unto the greatest in Jeremiah 31:34. But they're waiting on the temple. They have to wait until the completion. All of these stones are in place. Brethren, you have a tremendous blessing that has been extended to you, to be part of that blessing. All the world of mankind. The construction of this temple has been in progress throughout this gospel age. When Moses and Aaron, was it not until they went in the Most Holy and they came out? They came back out. But they came back out to do what? To bless how many? All the people. So this is what's going to happen. We know we know it's going to happen. And we have so many wonderful and precious promises that God has given us to give us that strength to continue our walk in the narrow way. 1 Kings 8:56. Of all the good promises that God made to Israel, how many failed? Not one. Brethren, I've broken so many promises in my lifetime. And here, the Almighty God has never broken a promise. You have this given to you to strengthen your resolve in the walk. He tells us He is faithful. I believe it's in Hebrews 10:23. He is faithful that promised. He also tells us, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So this is what we have, brethren, to maintain that walk in the narrow way in order to make our calling an election. Sure. Titus 1:2 tells us that God cannot lie. Hebrews 6, I believe it is, verse 18. It is impossible for God to lie. So we have these precious promises that have been given to you and I in order to help us make our calling and election sure and to be a part of that temple that's being constructed now. We know, and I think most of us would agree, that since 1878, the sleeping saints have already been raised. So we can see they're already there. And we know, what is it, 14, 13, or 13, 14 of Revelations. Now, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. They don't remain asleep. They don't have to. That construction, that stone has been completed, polished. It has been made ready to be placed in that temple that's going to bless all of our fellow men. So again, brethren, we can't emphasize it enough. This is what we've been invited to be partakers of. Realizing that, I know I do, I fall far short. And it's a striving with me each day. But I get up and so thankful that I can come to the throne of Christ to ask for mercy, for grace, for help. We have that privilege. Brethren, again, I have that tendency, but I speak as the Lord has blessed me with. And we're close to running out of time. But the purpose, we've looked at the purpose, the pattern, the antitype, the type, and that construction that's taking place at this time. And brethren, let me, I notice this. To us, the scriptures clearly teach, and we're going to close on this one. I see the elder here standing back there. But let's look for a moment, and this is from reprint 3694 in January 1906. And I noticed, you know, Brother Russell, I think the count, and I didn't excel in math, but I think my count was correct. Only nine times. I think it was only nine times. Someone will correct me anyway, I know that, if I'm wrong. In January 1906 is the one that I looked at. Here, Brother Russell says that the church is the temple of the living God, peculiarly his workmanship, that its construction has been in progress throughout the gospel age. Ever since Christ became the world's redeemer and the chief cornerstone of his temple, through which, when finished, God's blessing shall come to all the people. And they will find access to him. But that in the meantime, the chiseling, the shaping, and polishing of the consecrated believers in Christ, atonement for sin, progresses. And when the last of these living stones, elect and precious, shall have been made ready, the great master workman will bring them all together in the first resurrection. And the temple shall be filled with his glory, and the meeting and be the meeting place between God and men throughout the millennium. So that is the basis of hope for the church and the world. The basis of hope for the church and the world lies in the fact that Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, tasted death for how many? Every man. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So, dear brethren, we're going to close here. But it has been a pleasure for me and a blessing to see those I haven't seen in a long time and to see those again that I have seen recently. But it has been a blessing to me. Keep me in your prayers as I remember you. May the Lord add his blessing.